All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. Yesterday, I thought for sure, I'm going to finish 10 minutes early before the... So some of you need to stand up and be like, stop. And I'll stop maybe there. Okay, we've gone through this, the first couple of points there as we're talking about personal time with God and how life demands growth and growth won't occur apart from Scripture, the Word of God itself. And so as you look at this, the whole idea of being practical with it is there is a sense of sometimes we don't think this way. Sometimes we just think, hey, open up the Bible, read it. And I'm trying to encourage you to get alone to a quiet place, that you'd remove distractions, that you could spend time with God, be still and know that He is God, that you can actually quiet your soul. I like, as some of you guys might have heard that series that Jim Berg put out a number of years ago called Quieting a Noisy Soul. And yet the reality is we live in a world that's noisy. It's like everybody has earbuds in all the time. Or if they don't, they're, you know, like they're on their phone or whatever. And I'm just trying to say, hey, let's remove that. Brother Carrie and I were talking about that a little bit even too. And just, it's amazing how you get so used to things. And some things are not bad things either. It's like, you know, maybe that it's the news. And the news starts to dominate your time. Or when you find time, what you gravitate towards quickly, and it shows where our heart is, which is a revealer, isn't it? And so as you think through this, again, the first thing, remember how we talked about was that place, a quiet place. And the second one, number two, was your time, that you'd carve out time, that you would make time. And let me again remind you, and I keep saying this, that you make time for everything you really want to do. And it's amazing how you can find time to do certain things. It's like all of a sudden, so those of you who love golf, if all of a sudden, hey, you think you can make time for on this weekend, da, 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 and you're going, yeah, you know, and you, and or, you know, depending on the season, it can be hunting season, it can be football, you know, it can be whatever that can draw your time. I mean, people have all kinds of loves. It could be snakes. I knew someone would be convicted back there. No, I'm just joking. So it can be, yeah. I wasn't talking to you. Oh, you must be, oh, never mind. No. I'm teasing. So, I mean, it's amazing what really can. And I think if we're all honest, we all have different ones. I remember Steve Pettit used to talk about this. He'd pick up his mandolin. I remember he'd say some joke or something too before he'd be like, tell his kids, like, don't touch this. This thing's worth more than you are, you know, or whatever, too. And he said, you know, they've got their own mandolin world and different things too. And you kind of get caught up within something. And it's amazing what can take our attention. Carve out time. And then remember, yesterday I talked about plans. To remember the plans, as I kind of challenge you that you would think through biblically, read the Bible. And it's not wrong to have a devotional, and honestly, to have a guide. Sometimes it's nice to kind of, and I would encourage you as you would do reading through scriptures and stuff too. Honestly, that you learn to study out what the scripture says, like what do these words mean, and that's a good thing. It's interesting. Sometimes we don't ever study that out. I mean, there are words again too, as I was talking to you before about. It's like there's probably some 50 archaic words in the King James that you just don't use. No one uses anymore. And so the truth is you don't walk around talking about your lust of concupiscence probably on a very normal basis. And so I say this to learn what do these words mean and study them out. And I challenge people to learn to exposit. I think once you kind of get a taste for that and what is this saying and what does he mean by this, that's called meditation. It takes you deeper. It's not just God, what do you say, but it's what do you mean by it? And then you apply it to your life. That's life-changing. So then we talked about the plans yesterday. That was just kind of a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to go through all of that, but I want you to, at the very end, the last thing under the study was actually something called DEPAC, D-E-P-A-C. I don't know if you remember seeing that on there, but it was underneath there, and I was going to be the last thing before your bullet and then the line underneath there. And then, honestly, when I say DEPAC, everyone asks the question, what is DEPAC? What are you talking about, Jeremy? And so, wow, turn this page over. Okay, that's where we are today. Okay, so this is it as we deal with the Deeper Life series in the sense of study. And then this is DEPAC. What is that? Okay, so honestly, tonight, this, what I'm getting ready to give you for the next couple of moments, can really transform your devotional life. As you look at this whole idea of DEPAC, is we've said it kind of this way, that God's the one who has actually packed it in all the scripture. And what I'm trying to encourage people to do is depack it, okay, to unpack it, okay, in that sense. And so I've used the word depack, and it stands for things. You can see that D-E-P-A-C, those all stand for things. Actually, a number of years ago, I was talking to Will Galkin, and it was in the summers, and we were coming through this idea of saying, hey, let's get away. What if we were to transform from teaching kids, or actually like just having a devotional for kids, if we were to actually teach them how to read the Bible? And that was actually a focus that we would do towards a junior camp. Could you imagine if kids would learn how to actually spend time with God and learn that, what that would do for their junior high years? And if they continued to walk with God through high school, could you imagine? I mean, all of us, we could all imagine how much different our life could have been if we walked with God through high school. You know what I'm saying? And because most of you probably maybe didn't. I don't know. Hope maybe everyone did. I don't know. But I'm just thinking me. I'm going, wow. And yet to think about even with as adults to really walk faithfully that way. And so as I'm thinking about different things that we naturally look for in Scripture, I was thinking about promises, obviously, which I'm giving you some answers as I say this, but I'll give it to you more officially in a second. But and commands, obviously, things like that, or attributes, who God is and what He's like. And as I was thinking through some of these things, I remember going to Will and saying, here's what I'm thinking, Will. Maybe I'm outside the box. I don't know. Because I don't know anyone who's really kind of doing this. But what if I were to teach kids how to spend time with God, and I'm talking about different things, and he says, man, I love it. I love what you're talking about, too. And he was kind of heading up discipleship within Northland Camp at the time, and I was on the junior side directing their junior camp in the summers. And so so as I'm talking to him about this, he says, hey, Bob Roberts had something, I think it was called like Deepak or something. And so I call up Bob, and I say, hey, Bob, I heard something about Deepak. What is it? Can you explain it to me? He says, well, D stood for doctrine. And P stood for promise, A stood for attribute, C stood for command. And it was the idea that we were trying to do is we're trying to get kids to as we were to study Scripture, it would be certain things, doctrines and attributes and commands and different things that would be passages of Scripture that dealt with this. And I said, okay. He said, but we never did anything with it. That was probably Will was just heard my idea that day. And Bob's a man full of all kinds of ideas. And sometimes he implements them, sometimes he doesn't. And so that was one of these ones, he idea man, but he didn't implement anything. I said, do you mind if I use that? Because I think that this could be really helpful. And so he says, no, go for it. And so I said, it's in a different realm. I'm actually teaching kids to be in the Word. So let me go through what I'm talking about here. D obviously stands for doctrine. It's a truth to believe or a truth that's found in the Bible. And yet the Bible is filled with doctrine. And if you don't know doctrine, you're going to be in big trouble. Think about that for just a minute. I mean, if you don't know doctrine, then you're going to have these guys that come up and show up and say, yeah, we love Jehovah. And you're like, well, I do too, you know. And yeah, and we witness for Jehovah. And I think I should too. And yeah, but you know, but a Jehovah's Witness, if you follow their doctrine, you're in trouble. And there's a lot of things out there. If you don't know doctrine, if you don't realize the doctrine of eternal security and you've been born from God, what are you going to be doing all the time? You're going to be trying to get born again and again and again and again. I mean, that's a problem. If you don't understand how God sanctifies you, maybe you know what you might would think? You might would think, well, as long as I go forward in a church and give my life to Jesus, then I'm good. And I've done that. And you don't understand progressive sanctification. The reality is you need to understand doctrine and what does the Scripture say and who God is. And so the nature of doctrine is so important. This is something that, and you have people who are not really smart that say stuff like, don't deal with doctrine, that divides people. Well, hello, if you don't deal with doctrine, no one can get saved. Hello, I mean, this is like, you need doctrine. And so doctrine is truth, and doctrine should not be boring. It should be something that excites us because we want to know more about God and who He is and the nature of the doctrine. So then E stands for example. This is an example to either follow or slash avoid. I think about last week I was in this church in Lakeland, Florida, and one of the nights I spoke a message on the subject or on the person of Absalom. Do you think that's a positive or a negative example? Okay, hopefully. If you don't know, don't say, okay? But it's a negative. Yeah, oh, wow. Yeah, not for long. And what a negative example. I think about Achan. I think about sometimes in Joshua. In that same realm of Joshua 7, what do you have? You have a positive example, negative example. I think of Jesus as here he is. And it's like with the disciples, even my own kids, we're kind of reading through John, the book of John right now. And we've just passed not too long ago about how Jesus in the upper room, what are they doing? They're all arguing who's going to be the greatest. Which is so us, isn't it? And Jesus, in the midst of that, knows their feet are filthy and dirty. And he girds himself and he starts to wash their feet. Could you imagine? Could you imagine washing? These guys are all going to deny you in some way. And then you got Judas. Man, that's amazing. And then he says, happy you'll be, actually, if you do these things. I think of preaching something like that to kids before. And, you know, kids are real honest. I love that. Kids like, tell you what they think sometimes out loud. And they, oh, could you imagine washing someone else's feet? Ew, gross. I would never want to do that. You hear stuff like that out loud. Well, then you're not a servant, actually, because God tells us we should do this. We should look for opportunities of service, even if it's gross and menial, to be a blessing, huh? And God can make us this way. So you got positive examples in Scripture, negative examples, a lot of times found in narrative reading, okay, when you're reading stories within the Scriptures. Here's another one. P stands for promise, a promise to claim. A promise, when you think about a promise to claim, can you think of any promises in the Bible that you like? Name some really fast. We'll just kind of brainstorm real fast. What's a promise in the Scripture that you like? And I'm already know, I'm reading some of your brains right now. I know what you're going to say, but what's one? Okay, good one. Okay, if you ask anything in my name, then sure enough. And then what's another one? Yeah, he can guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I guess I didn't read your mind very well. You guys are giving me some good ones too. Yes, sir? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, usually that's like in the top three or something like that, as someone would say. Yeah, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That's to true believers. Even in your sin, if you're truly a believer, guess what he does? He pursues you. He won't leave you. No, it's like a loving parent. It's like, you know, with my kids, I don't go, well, you want to destroy your, well, then go play out on the road. You know, I don't care. No, if you go anywhere near that road, can I tell you, it's going to be a very patriotic scene. You know what I mean? It's like, don't go near that road. And I say that, why? You're mean. You don't love your kids. You don't let them do whatever they want to do. No, I actually love them. I don't want them to die, you know? And so you think about how God, who he loves us, He'll never leave us. He never forsakes us. There's salvation promises. Think about that. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what does that mean? What will happen? They shall be saved. It doesn't say, well, maybe, sort of, kind of, hopefully, I hope, maybe. It's not like that. So here's another one. A stands for attribute. This is a description of what God is like. When you think about this, it's this character quality to dwell upon. When you come across attributes, do you ever pray them back to the Lord? Do you ever think about that? Like where you actually use your mind that way to, you know, when I think about one of my favorite promises in Scripture is one where it says, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. And what else? Just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow, there's four attributes right there about who God is. He's faithful, he's just, he cleanses, he forgives. I mean, just to dwell upon one of those and begin to pray that back to the Lord and just in your own life, how God has been faithful. And yet, faithful, think about it, even in creation. What if all of a sudden God said, you know, I'll just forget this rotation of the earth kind of thing. We're all dead. It's his faithfulness and his mercies and kindness new every morning. I mean, great is thy faithfulness. Attributes. You start dwelling upon attributes of God and who he is. Can I tell you, you might have started off with a miserable day, but you start dwelling upon his attributes and pretty soon you're having a great day. Because it's not about you anymore, is it? It's about God and who he is. And we put our hearts and minds on him. And then here's another one, command. See, a command to obey. Maybe something that God asks you to do or tells you not to do. I think last 2 years ago when I was here, I preached you a message on, which, you know, like you would remember, but maybe, but on being filled with the Spirit. And yet that's a positive command in Scripture. And but there's negative commands too, where God tells you, you know, don't steal, don't lie. You can go down the line of different negative commands or positive commands, but you find them in Scripture and are you obeying them? So here we go, ready? This is where it just kind of the rubber meets the road. This is the practical side. So as you read your Bible, number one, okay, let's just say you wake up in the morning and you're ready and you're going to spend some time with God. I would encourage you to follow these different six steps. If this is not kind of a normal kind of thought process, maybe you should rethink, because this is not, this is just a, I would say, a biblical biblical approach. In other words, pray and ask God to help you understand what you read. Begin with prayer. Begin by saying, God, I want to yield to you today. And as you speak to me, think about the psalmist who said, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your law. Do you ever pray prayers like, God, your word is so holy and I'm not, and practically I won't get it. And if you don't illumine me, if you don't help me see it, I won't see it. This is a holy book and me practically I'm not there. And so God, help me. That's what the psalmist was praying. God, open up my eyes to see it. And yet this is the writer of the Psalms. You're going, I mean, out of all people who seem to have illumination, I mean, but yet he's asking for it. And yet that's how we should be. And guess who God feeds? He feeds those who are what? Hungry. And he gives drink to those who are thirsty. And so there's this element of, dear God, make me hungry for your word and thirsty. And Lord, if there's something in my life right now, I want to confess it. I want to get it right. Lord, bring it to my attention that I can remove any barrier so that I can receive the word. And isn't there a direct correlation with that? I mean, that's why you hear people say that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And yet, as you remove sin in your life, the reality is what happened? Then all of a sudden, there's revival, isn't there? It's like, wow, something like the Word of God is like, man, it's awesome. And I would say this, okay? The Bible is not boring. You're boring. The Bible's alive and living. Let's never forget that. If the Bible's boring to you, something's wrong, not with the Scripture. It's right here. We pray and we beg God, don't we? God, work in my heart. Could you imagine just doing this? This would radically transform your personal time, just that. For those who may are saying, man, I don't really do that, or maybe I'm just kind of guilty of opening up my Bible and just kind of start reading. That's just kind of what I do. And I would say, no. Ask God. That's God, unite my heart to your, bend it to your commands. I mean, think about the different scriptures that point us that way to say, God, unite me with you. I want to know you. Satisfy me, God, with you and you alone. Don't satisfy me with my family. I love my family, but don't satisfy me there. Don't satisfy me with my work. Don't satisfy me in my sin. Lord, satisfy me with you. Pray. Number two. Read the plan passage. What I'm trying to do is trying to say, don't read the Bible randomly. Now, can you get something from the Bible if you read it randomly? Yes, you can, okay? But the danger of random reading is you get things out of context, okay? And that's a problem. So all of a sudden now you know, people think it's like a really spiritual if you drop the Bible open without looking, and then you point, and then you begin to read. You know what I mean? And you've heard the joke about the guy that did that or whatever before. He opens it up, and he points and reads, and it says, and Judas went forth and hung himself. And he's going, oh, I mean, okay. I thought I was going to do whatever God wanted me to do, but let me try this again. And then he drops it open again and points, and go and do thyself likewise. Ah, you know, and that, don't read your Bible randomly. It's like, that's not a smart way, because you know you start getting things out of context, you know, and that's like, God is not slack concerning his promise. God doesn't like slacks. Girls should never wear pants. Ah, you know, I mean, you could. I tell people this. Do you realize I can make the Bible say anything I want it to say? But the real question is, what does it say? And my desire is, what, find that out and then give people that. Because that's the power, isn't it? So the nature of this, to have a plan, to work through something. I like to have people work through a book, or to work through, you know, as you're working. And the reason why is you understand, you start connecting dots here, and it's just not random. Because sometimes if it's random, you might claim promises for yourself that aren't meant to be for you at all. They could be scriptural promises to the nation of Israel, and you're going, but you know, and yet there's a lot of unbelievable things, but sometimes if we're not careful and we don't realize, it's even a proverb. Do you know a proverb is a wise or a pithy saying? I mean, the idea there is not, it's not a promise. Did you know that? I mean, sometimes people, I've heard people get really upset towards God because they say, listen, you know, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. And I train them up and they departed. Well, for one thing, you didn't perfectly train them up, because there's no perfect parent, and yet any kid that will turn out is the grace of God, isn't it? And but the other side of it, that actually is a wise saying. It's like that's the norm. When you do train them up in the right way, they're probably going to turn out pretty good. But why Think of Misha. Think of my friend Tim Chapman, one of your missionaries. His family was five kids, I think. I think five, maybe six. Tim and most of his siblings are all like married to people in ministry, and he connect the dots like that too. And there's one of them that's like far from God, maybe a lost person. And yet, how did all the other ones, you know what I mean? I just say this to say these, when you think of scripture, find this, read plan, go read it. And what is it saying? And work through it. Okay. I want to challenge you to do that. And then, it is different. That's a little bit different than like the daily bread kind of a reading where it's like boom, 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 boom. You know, it's like, and it's great stuff, but it's random. And you start putting it in context and you're going, oh, that's why. That's really pretty cool. Number three, underline the verse in your Bible that you think has DPAC. If you find a doctrine, underline it. Why not? Promise, underline it. Maybe it's part of the phrase you underline. Maybe it's the whole verse. Maybe it stands out to you. I tell people, underline that. You know, and then not only that, put the letter beside the verse. Okay, I mean, if you got a command, why not maybe on the side put a little C there because it reminds you of command. And am I following that command? I mean, this is just a simple way of marking up some things within your scriptures. I love this because now actually on my iPad, what I like to do is again, all these, I have different manipulations. I have stuff for prophecies. I have stuff for doctrines, for examples, and different things too. And for prayers and different things too that I'm going to find. And just, I mean, it's, and each one is different colors and means different things. And so as I highlight, you should see some of these studies that I would do through a book or whatever too. You see, you know, it's like, and to me, I know exactly what's going on there. It's really, it's fun. It's amazing. It's what God's doing. There you go. Kind of make that symbol up in my olive tree. Now, number five, here we go. Ready? Finish reading. As you're reading through, you're praying, you're reading through and you're praying. You begin with prayer as God is dealing with you through the word. Think about this, though. One of the questions you should ask is, what does God, or what things did I just learn about this passage? And we call that information. It's kind of like if I were to ask you, have you read your Bible in the last 24 hours? Hopefully you'd say yes. So the next question would be this. Okay, so what'd you read about? What was it about? That's just information. And right now you're going, you know, but that's the information part of it. Now, listen carefully to this one. If you read the Bible for information only, you'll walk away arrogant and proud because knowledge puffeth up. You're saying, well, are you telling me I can read my Bible and get proud? Yeah. That's why you need this question. How does God want me to live because of what I just learned? What's that? What is that? That's just simply application. And so you read it to heed it. That's the whole point. I mean, it's like the book of the law should not depart out of your mouth. Why? That you should meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And that's when you find yourself being successful and actually making your way prosperous, because you're taking the word and you're actually applying it to your life, and God is maturing you and doing a work in your heart and your life. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Apply it. Are you doing this? Because if we're not careful, we go through and we go, check, 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 check. Look, I've got all my checks, you know, marks and stuff too. I haven't missed any days. But are you really applying it? Is it changing you? If you're reading it and you're walking away unchanged, then you're like a forgetful hearer. And the truth is, no, you need to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And so apply it. And then number six is spend some real time in prayer. Now you finish off and let's say you pray. I like that little acrostic there and that I kind of put down there. Some of you have seen that one before. Steve Pettit used to have a book, that little pamphlet thing years ago called How to Pray 30 Minutes a Day. And it was the idea that you take P-R-A-Y, and P stood for praise, and R stood for repent, A stood for ask, and Y stood for yield. And you just, even if you were to say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praising God, and then as you finish that off, I'm going to spend 5 minutes really repenting and just searching my heart and seeking to be right with God. I'm going to spend 5 minutes asking, that's really easy to do, and then I'll spend 5 minutes yielding to the Lord. Could you imagine doing that? That's 20 minutes just there. That's not even Bible reading. And so sometimes it's helpful to have a little bit of a method of something like that. Okay, now turn your page back over. You don't have to answer this yet, but really here's this question is really, what's your plan? That's that last blank there under studies where you go all the way down to the bullet. and that line there, that you would actually write out what your plan is, or maybe what it currently is, or maybe you're going, I haven't had a plan. And you know what? And let me remind you, if you fail to plan, you might as well plan to fail. So don't forget that, okay? So have a plan. So think about that. Maybe I'll tomorrow ask some of those questions on what are some of you guys doing and what's some of your plans and your thoughts. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We're not done. We've got like one main kind of thing left. So tomorrow night, man, it's going to be good.